ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 19, The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha, Text 38.
Etan maha punyamalam pavitram
Danyam yasasyam paramaya ashtisham
Pranendriyanam yudhisarya bhajanam
Narayanam
te gati anga shrinvatam
Etan maha
punyamalam pavitram Danyam yasasyam paramaya ashtisham Pranendriyanam yudhisarya bhajanam Narayanam te gati anga shrinvatam Etan maha punyamalam pavitram Danyam yasasyam paramaya ashtisham Panendriyanam yudhisarya bhajanam Narayanam te gati anga shrinvatam
Etat,
this narrative,
Mahapunyam,
conferring great merit,
Alam,
very,
Pavitram,
sacred,
Danyam,
conferring wealth,
Yasyam,
bearing fame,
Padam.
The receptacle.
Ayu.
Ayu.
Of longevity.
Ashisham.
Ashisham.
Of the objects of one's desire.
Of the objects of one's desire.
Prana.
Prana.
Of the vital organs.
Of the
Indriyanam.
Indriyanam.
Of the organs of action.
Of the organs of action.
Yuji.
On the field of battle.
Shaurya.
Shaurya.
The strength.
Vardhanam,
Vardhanam,
increasing.
Narayana,
Narayana,
Lord Narayan.
Ante,
Ante,
at the end of life.
Gati,
shelter.
Anga,
Anga,
O dear Shonaka.
Shrinvatam,
Shrinvatam,
of those who listen.
Translation. This most sacred narrative confers extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. One who listens to it at the last moment of his life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord, O dear Shonaka. Purport. Devotees are generally attracted by the narratives of the pastimes of the Lord. And even though they do not prosecute austerities or meditation, this very process of hearing attentively about the pastimes of the Lord will endow them with innumerable benefits, such as wealth, fame, longevity, and other desirable aims of life. If one continues to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narratives of the pastimes of the Lord, at the end of this life, one is sure to be transferred to the eternal transcendental abode of the Lord. Thus, hearers are benefited both ultimately and for as long as they are in the material world. That is the supreme, sublime result of engaging in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to spare some time and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended 5 items of devotional service. namely to serve the devotees of the Lord, to chant Hare Krishna, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to worship the deity of the Lord, and to live in a place of pilgrimage. Just performing these five activities can deliver one from the miserable condition of material life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha. Om Ajnana Chinananda Syaganjana Shmaka Chakshun Militamina Tasma Shri Kurve Namah.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Paramahansa Shri Advaita Gadara Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Do we have any fan or something here? You've reached the end of the Leela of Adisukra, Krishna's avatar or incarnation as the original boar. You've heard that generally boars are considered very abominable creatures. They run around in the forest and they eat all sorts of nasty things and they look very ugly. Do they have boars in New Zealand? Really? Where? Really? On the North Island or South Island? Or both? Anyone ever seen a boar? Where? In the bush? Are they very beautiful? And who knows what they eat out there? All sorts of rotten things. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes as the boar avatar, then that's something else. Then there's unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited knowledge, fame, wealth, and renunciation. Therefore, Lord Boar is known as Adisukra, the original boar. Krishna does these things to show you that whatever he does is without any touch of material contamination. The Lord can appear as a boar, any species of life, as a turtle, as a horse, but totally spiritual body he has. Not one drop of matter. Now these things are beyond the material understanding of people. They can't even understand themselves, what to speak of understanding the Supreme Lord's transcendental form. Yet they become so proud. Oh, this must be mythology. Lord Boar, who could believe such a thing really happened? And they're so bewildered. They don't understand who they are. They can't understand even their material body and how it functions. Yet they very confidently provoke skepticism or even outright denial of the Lord's transcendental activities just because those activities don't fit into their little brain. Anything Krishna does is glorious. All his pastimes, all his activities purify the heart and increase the love of God in the devotee. We're hearing that by here. When you listen to this most sacred narrative, all sorts of things come to you. Extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. One who listens to it at the last moment of his life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord. Now, the real reason why you're listening to Krishna's activities is because they're all attractive. When you care for someone, you want to hear about them. Isn't it so? If someone doesn't want to listen to you, what's the first thing you think? The person doesn't care about you. And if someone takes the time to listen to you, the first thing you think is, that person cares about me. By taking the time to hear about Krishna, we deepen our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by hearing Now, this may be hard for the skeptical mind to accept. How is it that simply by hearing about Lord Krishna, I advance in the ultimate goal of life? I'm not doing any severe austerities and penances and complicated meditation practices. I'm just hearing with my ear and my heart the glories of the Lord. And it is very important to hear with your ear and heart combined. When your heart is invested in something, then that activity you're doing becomes very conscientious and you're very attentive about it because your heart is there. I've asked you this before. You know what it's like when you're doing something and your heart is into it and when your heart is not, when you're just going through the motions. So a devotee is very careful to hear with both the ear and the heart. You know how to listen to someone with your heart. If you don't have someone who will listen to you with their heart, often someone can feel incomplete, unfulfilled. And if you have someone who will listen to you with the heart, then you think life is complete. We have these tendencies because we're part of Krishna. If you listen about Krishna with your ear and your heart, you do get perfect fulfillment in life. Still, our skeptical mind, our cynical mind, has a hard time accepting. How is it that simply by hearing attentively about the pastimes of the Lord, I can attain the perfection of life? I mean, shouldn't I just work and with action in terms of my arms and legs? And shouldn't I just be busy all the time physically? Isn't that the way how to reach the goal of life? Yes. By engaging all your senses in Krishna's service, you'll reach the ultimate goal of life. But you have to do that according to the system given by the acharyas. And that system stresses hearing and chanting about the Lord as the foundation of all other devotional activities. In other words, especially in the age of Kali, if you don't properly hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the other processes of devotional service will fade. Everything is based on Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting about the Lord. So a devotee has a desire to constantly cultivate the taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. In that way, you replenish the relationship. You invigorate the relationship. These things take effort, care, and consideration, because Krishna is a person. We've said so many times, by your efforts to constantly increase the quality of your hearing and chanting about the Lord, you become more and more dear to the Lord. Just like you would love it if someone would constantly make the effort to listen to you. Right? Like, oh, my life is complete. Someone's listening to me with their heart, giving me quality time. We repeat these things over and over again to break through the crust, the thick crust of impersonalism that we have. So what if we don't hear about Krishna? We are so eager to have our personal needs fulfilled. But most important is that we understand the personal needs of the Supreme Person. Then automatically we'll understand our own personal needs because we're part of Krishna. Why is it that people are attracted to impersonalism? Envy. It's not easy hearing about someone better than you. Have you noticed that? It pops up, this envy, in amazing ways. Even, you know, you could be cooking in the kitchen with some devotees and you know another devotee cooks better than you. Isn't it stuff? It's amazing how the envy pops up. Or some other devotee is the kitchen manager for the moment and not you. Some other devotee is distributing more books than you or can play the harmonium better than you. It's amazing, this envy thing. To common sense, you can see both you and that person who is better than you can exist simultaneously and be happy. But envy makes it seem like, no, either that person's down and I'm up, or else that person shouldn't exist in the world. Envy is a very powerful thing. There's envy of Krishna. You can be envious of your spiritual master. Envious of fellow devotees. It's just the main disease of material existence. And the envy begins with Krishna. Why should we hear about Krishna? But you'd love it if someone would hear about you. Now, if you just apply that same love to hearing about Krishna, your life would be perfect. Just think, someone will just sit and hear me with attention. Take that same feeling in your heart and apply it to hearing the glories of Krishna, and you'll very nicely become Krishna conscious. Just transfer that feeling. Just think about it. Someone is listening to me right now with a warm heart. They're receptive. They're attentive. I can just reveal my heart and mind, and they just listen and understand. And yes. Isn't that a nice feeling? They're always there when I want to talk. They know my moods perfectly. We have that feeling because we're part of Krishna. When we apply it to Krishna, then it's perfect. Of course, amongst devotees, we want to be considered for each other. We want to be there for each other. Still, the perfect application of the hearing process is to hear Krishna's glories with your ear and your heart. You cannot calculate the benefits you get by hearing about Krishna. Sometimes you may think, it's going to take my whole life to just even hear a half of a round properly. At the three beads, my mind just takes off. And I got to admit, when I get to the end of my 16 rounds, I'm glad. It's come to an end, finally. But if you keep daily trying to hear about Krishna, that feeling will go away. How would you like it to talk to someone, and then when you finish talking to them, the other person went, shh. Has that ever happened to you? Didn't you feel bad? You're really sincerely resonating and pouring out your heart, and then when you finish, the other person just went, shh. Like, well, I'm glad this is over. Yes, often men do that to their wives. Are you finished yet? And it makes you really feel bad, because you know you want to feel that the other person really enjoys hearing from you. But the other person is thinking, when is this going to be over? How many times have I heard this before? So you don't like that. So why should we like it? To apply that attitude to Krishna. Oh, I finished hearing about Krishna. I did my 2 hours of reading. I finished chanting. Got that out of the way. Now real life can go on. You wouldn't like anyone to do that to you. Why do we do it to Krishna? Because we're envious. It's unconscious that there's better things to do in life than hear about Krishna. I want to be the center. That's really what it comes down to. I want to be the center of everything. Krishna's too good. He does everything so wonderful. Why do we have to hear about him? What about my needs? We don't understand that by satisfying Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, all your needs are taken care of. You might say, all right, this verse says that this most sacred narrative confers extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. So you might say, where's my wealth? I've heard the whole story. I've read it before. Where's my wealth? But In Kali Yuga terms, you have wealth. How many of you have the anxiety of working excruciating job with so much stress and strain? No, you don't have that. Yet, you're eating very nicely. You're eating better than, anyone. The richest person can spend $1,000 at a restaurant and will never eat as deliciously as you all do. Isn't that wealth? Who can buy the spiritual taste of Krishna Prasad? You can't purchase that in money. It doesn't have a financial value. It comes from devotion. So just think about it. An essential part of happiness in life is eating. Why do you think Wellington is known as the restaurant and cafe city? That's because people want to experience the opulence of eating in different places. Were any of you ever part of the cafe scene? You were? You would do those runs where you would go to one cafe, take a little nibble, and go to another cafe and do another nibble? Huh? Drinking coffee from one cafe to another? Does the coffee taste different in different cafes? So you used to know them all, huh? Anyone else was a cafe person? Huh? In Sweden, they don't go to cafes, do they? They do. Uh-huh. So, people like to eat. To eat takes money. Well, today we'll go to a Korean restaurant. Tomorrow we'll go to a Malaysian restaurant. The next day we'll go to a Thai restaurant. Then you're considered successful, yes? If you can take your friends to different restaurants and cafes. That's what they do in Wellington. Wellington promotes itself as the cafe city. So many different types of cafes and restaurants in a concentrated area. A wonderland for the tongue. That's how it advertises itself in all the airlines magazines. And that's considered opulence. That's considered wealth. But just look, you get to eat better than anyone. And you get to experience all different types of cooks, right? And all the different flavors that they're offering to the Lord with devotion. This is wealth. The lack of stress and strain is also wealth. Even our devotees who are working or going to school, they're not fried by overabsorption and trying to get ahead. That's wealth. Freedom from stress and anxiety. That's a very rare thing in this day and age, but you all have that. Somehow, because of your devotion, Krishna is maintaining you. Now you might say, well, especially the ladies right now, they're a bit numerous, so they're so many. Still, it's a fact, when you're asleep, right? How many of you, when you're sleeping at night, think, oh, I don't have my own bed in my own room? How many of you think like that when you're fast asleep? No, the goal of sleeping is to sleep. So when you're asleep, you're asleep. You know, how many of you have suddenly awakened in the middle of the night? I'm not on my own bed in my own room. Anyone done that? Have you done it, Tara? You just want a sound night's sleep, right? Just don't want to be disturbed. It's amazing how simple needs really are. I'm sure so many of you would have never thought you could live in such a way. It's amazing how simple the needs of a human being are. By living simply, you can understand how unnecessarily complicated the so-called civilization is today, and how it's destroying people's lives by taking up their time with unnecessary endeavors and anxieties. It's very good to have that experience. Living simply and being satisfied simply by hearing about Krishna. That is wealth. That is opulence. Now, this verse has different things for different people. We don't have any Kshatriyas here, I don't think so. But it says, on the field of battle, this most sacred narrative promotes the strength of one's vital organs and the organs of action. So, just in case you get on the battlefield. The point is that hearing about Krishna makes your overall life auspicious. If you maintain your dedication to hear about Krishna in any circumstance, then your life will be successful. It doesn't mean that there'll be no upsets in the material world. It doesn't mean there'll be no disturbances in the material world. There'll always be that. But because of your attachment to hearing about Krishna, you'll cross over all these obstacles quite easily. Because you have the real wealth, hearing and chanting about Krishna. And a devotee is always working on increasing the quality of that hearing and chanting. That means working on the quality of your attachment for Krishna. And certainly, you'll see the progress, you'll see the effect. Now, when you're a beginning devotee, you immediately notice the effect of hearing about Krishna because you come out of the bodily conception of life and you drop your illicit activities. As the years go by, though, you may not see what you think are so dramatic results that come to you by hearing about Krishna. Any of you ever wondered about that? Like when you first took the Krishna consciousness, there was a huge polar shift. You went from a wild person, you know, into becoming, you know, a gentleman or a lady. But then, maybe after the third or fourth year, you don't see such a dramatic shift. Don't be fooled. The process of hearing about Krishna is still working. And you will see the results. It's just that the process is working on a more subtle level. Don't think that the only transformations are involved with, you know, getting you to stop having illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. No. There are more subtle things to be dealt with, and the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna does that. You will notice in time that the most precious asset, the rarest gem of attachment for Krishna is starting to develop. You just have to give it some time. But as we always explain, this is the one thing that particularly people in Western industrialized information technology countries can't do. They can't give anything enough time. Everything is instant. Whereas in so-called third world countries, people are accustomed to take, you know, let time take its course. What's wrong with waiting a lifetime? What's the big deal? But for us, wait a lifetime? No way. Next year at most. Part of bhakti yoga means dealing with this impatience, this impertinence. It's the symptom of emotive passion. Now, gotta have it now. It will come to you. But Krishna consciousness is the most serious thing. It's the greatest thing. So what's wrong with gradually developing through your life? That development will be there if you maintain your proper immersion in hearing about Krishna. Then you'll be benefited as long as you're in the material world. And at the end of your life, you'll be transferred to the spiritual world. And yes, your life will come to an end in terms of this body. Maybe you'll live a full life, maybe not, but everyone dies. Death is a part of life. Birth is a part of life. It will happen to you. It's like some of you were at the hospital when one of our congregational friends passed away. I hope you thought, this will be me soon. Some of you thought like that. Meanwhile, though, you have forces in your body that are making you feel that, oh, I'm always going to be here, it's always going to be all right. That's the power of illusion. Now, it is true that this will to survive has some basis in reality. The spirit soul is eternal, but the body cannot perpetuate itself. Therefore, your attempts to have a meaningful, lasting existence in material life are illusory. But that same attempt on the spiritual platform is real. Therefore, a devotee is always minimizing material engagement and maximizing spiritual engagement. Go through your various phases of life, but always keep hearing and chanting about Krishna in the center. Never think, I've heard it all before. I already read Krishna book. No. When you get that feeling, look it straight in the eye and say, this is just a material presentation to my mind. Actually, I haven't heard enough about Krishna. I haven't heard this particular pastime enough. I'm not going to become overpowered by material feelings of familiarity. How would you like someone to treat you in that way? Look, we've been together 5 years. I've already heard everything you got to say. How would you like that kind of relationship? What are you going to say that's new? It's you and your same old trips. How would you feel? You want the person to consider that everything you're saying is like a fresh realization. newer nuances and permutations. That's what you would like. Although it's true that material existence is basically the same old thing. Nevertheless, devotees, even in the young stages of devotional life, devotees always have ever-increasing realizations of Krishna. That we should share. But what wears everyone down is when they have to listen to the constant repetition of mental patterns. No one likes that. But sharing realizations about serving Krishna, that's very enlivening. In any case, the point is, you wouldn't like it if someone just treated what you're saying as, oh, here we go again, I've heard this before. When is it going to be something new? Sometimes we do that to our hearing and chanting about Krishna. I've already read this book once. I've read it twice, three times. I need something new to tilliate my mind. Actually, you can only enter into these books through devotional service. You can't enter materially. The more you enter spiritually, the more you realize, I will never get to the bottom of Srimad Bhagavatam in this lifetime. Krishna lets you see spiritually into the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then you become humble. I'm just standing on the shore of an unlimited ocean. That's why in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's coverage, Goswami says, it's impossible to describe even one day's activities of Lord Chaitanya. Trying to glorify Lord Chaitanya is like a dwarf trying to touch the moon. He says that just like the wind, when it blows on the ocean, can only carry away one drop. Similarly, we can only just touch the surface of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It's not possible to capture the whole ocean. But when we touch one drop of that ocean of pure love of Krishna, it purifies us. Let us think about these things. And do not forget, the core of bhakti is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Work on it. It's nice to have the time in your life. Hopefully it'll be all your life. It's nice to have the facility to work on your hearing and chanting. How to make it better and better. That's always a devotee's anxiety. How to increase my quality of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That attitude is very pleasing to Krishna because it shows you care. And then Krishna from within your heart reciprocates. What does he say? In the first canto of Bhagavatam, he says, Shrinvadam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Priyantastokya Bhadrani Virunoti Sahitsatam. When someone hears or chants about me, the Lord says, I as the super soul in their heart reciprocate. What's the first thing that Krishna does to reciprocate? He personally cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the core of your heart. And then, furthermore, gradually the Lord begins to reveal the ecstatic flavors of love of God. He begins to reveal that in your heart. Let us have the strength and patience to continue the process of bhakti yoga and not be like shooting stars. Let us have the maturity to take the time to get the greatest thing and to not take so seriously the presentations of our material mind, which tell us, you've heard this before, you already know all about Lord Bohr. There's no novelty. You've read the third canto. Hearing properly means to think, I'm on the shore of an unlimited ocean. It's not possible for me to get to the bottom. I can hear and hear and hear and hear, still never get to the end. You need to pray for that kind of mentality. Therefore, real hearing is done by the ear and the heart, the prayerful heart. Krishna, please allow me to hear your glories, free from mental speculation, free from cynicism and skepticism, free from thinking I already heard it before. Let me enter into the unlimited spiritual taste of hearing about you, your ever-fresh glories. You see, once you break out of the impersonalist cage, then life can really begin. The impersonalist cage means thinking there's no Supreme Personality of Godhead with form and activities and qualities. Generally, when you talk to people, when you say the word avatar, they think of some spiritual force that's come into the material world and accepted a body of matter. That's what they think. Some years ago, there was one famous New Age, very expensive seminar series called Avatar. Is some of you, you ever take it? You heard about it, though, right? No? Yes. Very expensive. You took it? Very expensive. It's going to free you of all your anarthas, free you of all your shackles and inhibitions, and turn you into an avatar. Because people think avatar means a spirituality encased in a material form. So they think, oh yeah, we're all avatars. Now, avatar means that which comes down from the spiritual world. Just like an elevator comes down from the top floor to the bottom floor. Avatar comes from the spiritual world and has no material body. The avatar displays the pure spiritual form, composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Our skepticism and our reluctance to hear about Krishna is actually based on dormant impersonalism. Impersonalism means envy. I don't want to hear about anyone better than me. I got my own problems and I'm number one, so let's solve my needs. How can I be happy hearing about Krishna? Who's Krishna? Why can't I just do whatever I like to do, or If not, do whatever I like to do. Just focus on me, and then just be conscious of the spiritual reality. You know, the whatever, the all-pervading. That's what most people think. Yourself comes first, and then you have this learning process known as life, in which you become more and more attuned to the all-pervading whatever. And then the universe teaches you whatever lessons you need to know. Once you truly understand the science of the avatars, and you engage in avatar katha, talks about the avatars, then the envy is reduced. And gradually you begin to relish hearing about Krishna again and again and again. I know, just like here at Gaur Yoga Center, we have our stories about different devotees. And so many of you know them all, but we say them again and again, so everyone laughs and relishes them, right? What's a story like that? I don't remember. Oh, Mangalvaishnava Mahalakshmi. Any others? Oh, yeah. Remember that one? I was at the men's ashram. And Mahavan was famous for making ecstatic cookies. I don't think you've done it in a while, though, have you? You lost your touch? Ecstatic cookies. What are they made of? Gore, jaggery, and what else? All sorts of things. I mean, they were really good. I used to live on those cookies. I wouldn't even give them away. So then, I think you were engaged at that time? Yes. So, you know, they were associating, as the devotee lingo says. They always have these strange words, you know, just become adorable. We're associating. If you say that to someone, you know, who doesn't know, you're associating. So anyway, she decided that she could also make super cookies. So they were in the kitchen together, and Mahavan was trying to give her some pointers, since you could tell he was the recognized expert. And also, he was the man. So, he just gave her a few pointers. Then he got a swift chastisement. Leave me! Let me make my own cookies! Yes. So, here's an example. So many of you know this story, but still, you know, it gives pleasure. What's another one? Oh, yeah, you're right. Storming out of the house, slamming the door. I've had enough of this. You don't get tired if you think about that. We dare to criticize traffic in Auckland and materialistic parents. Anyone else? Any other story?
Krishnaloka in her shoes.
Krishnaloka in her 50 pairs of shoes. That's all part of the story. She had 50 pairs of shoes, you know. Not as a devotee, but there are some others. So, you get great joy in hearing about them again and again, especially when you're gathered together. Yeah. You can laugh together. Similarly, why can it not be so? Hearing about Krishna, the same pastimes again and again, you get deeper and deeper realizations. Especially in the association of devotees. So if this principle is true about, you know, ordinary things, of course devotees aren't ordinary. Nevertheless, these little events that we like to discuss, they're nothing compared to Krishna Lila. So certainly we'll get that much more sweet taste even by reciting Krishna's pastimes, you heard again and again. You'll see deeper and deeper because they're spiritual. That means you need spiritual acumen, you need spiritual ability to plumb their depths, to get into them to a deeper and deeper level. We know that we're making spiritual advancement when we can just go on hearing and hearing about Krishna. But first, we have to clean ourselves off. So don't be afraid to put in the time to purify yourself. It'll be a job that's well worth it. All right. So that's the end of this chapter. You see, Shukadeva Goswami, Maitreya Muni, those who are narrating the Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami, they know how to encourage you. So often at the end of some narration of a particular lila, they'll tell you how you'll benefit so much by this hearing. A good example is the sixth canto, where it has, I think, a chapter or two about dynasties. And saying, who's read the sixth canto? And one verse after another, from so-and-so was born so-and-so, and so-and-so was... Oh, you think, let me get through this really quick. I mean, what's the point of all this? Then you get to the end of the chapter and it says, anyone who hears this chapter with attention will get this and that and the other. Ooh, let me go back to text one and start. The fact is that every verse of Bhagavatam is saturated. Every syllable of Bhagavatam, Sanatana Goswami says, is saturated with pure love of Krishna. Anything else? Questions? Yes. Envy means indirect appreciation. So why not just directly appreciate? You only envy someone who's doing something better or has something better. You don't envy someone worse than you. So why not just appreciate directly? You can say, oh, how nicely you're doing, or this is so nice what you've done. That'll counteract the envy. Just go, be direct about it and glorify the person. You should want to improve your service. Yes, you should be eager to improve your service. To improve your attachment for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Yes, you should. Nothing wrong with that. That's the right thing. And gradually that eagerness, when it's more and more advanced, becomes spiritual greed, lolium. That's the only price to attain Krishna. But spiritual greed is not an ordinary thing.
Thank you.
teach and distribute Krishna consciousness, and then you'll always see the suffering of others, and you'll experience the austerities involved with trying to help others. It's not that everyone is just waiting, Kadirvan, tell us about Krishna. If you go out to Manor's Mall, they're all waiting, ah, here we are, you're going to tell us about Krishna. Reach out to others with Krishna consciousness, and you'll easily see the miseries of material life. And you'll incur some resistance, some lack of appreciation, which will make you humble. Sankirtan is such a wonderful teacher of Vaishnava qualities. So it's good to be concerned that I don't want to take these things for granted. I don't want to enter a false lull. If you really want to see life as it is, then distribute Krishna consciousness, teach Krishna consciousness. You'll see by teaching, by distributing.
When I said Hare Krishna to some people a couple of years, they've asked, what does that mean? Is that an offense to expand on?
You can just explain to them it means it's a prayer, a mantra, to the energy of the Lord and the source of the energy of the Lord, please engage me in this, in the service of the Lord. You can explain in that or words that give that meaning. Interpreting the holy name means, you know, speculate. Krishna stands, he represents every man, and Radha represents every woman. So the Hare Krishna mantra, it's like all about, you know, how to have relationships. I've heard this before. They balance each other. They dialogue. Yeah, I've heard that. They resonate with each other. That's what the Hare Krishna mantra means. Yeah, that's interpreting. Hare Krishna mantra simply means, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Nor do you explain the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful. I've already told you one example of how one, at the time, famous rock star came to see Srila Prabhupada in London. It was not George Harrison, it was someone else who was far from being so fortunate. And he had his mini-skirted girlfriend with him, and so they came to sit before Prabhupada, so the devotees had to put a chadar over her thighs, you know. You know, you're wearing a mini-skirt and you know, sit on the floor, you know. So Prabhupada began to preach very simply to this famous rock star. But he wasn't explaining so much according to the vision of a few devotees there. So the devotees, when they saw Prabhupada hesitate to answer questions deeply, the devotees thought they would help Prabhupada, and they'd save him labor. So one devotee intervened and was, you see, the Hare Krishna mantra means that this and that and the other, and he's going. Finally, Prabhupada just cut him off right in front of the rock star. Stop. You're teaching the glories of the holy names to the unfaithful. That is an offense. Right in front of the famous rock star. It's like common decency. You don't reveal a dear friend's intimate glories to persons who don't appreciate. It's like, say, Rodrigo, you wouldn't go talking about your friend's personal life, to just anyone. You want to make sure that they have the qualification, the respect, in order to hear. Well, similarly, it's like that about Krishna. So much about dealing with Krishna is easy to understand once we accept that Krishna is a person. We are so hung up on our being a person, but we don't accept that Krishna is a person. This is our problem. The more you become purified, the more you realize how impersonalism has affected us so greatly. You start to see that you really appreciate hearing about Krishna, and you can't live without hearing and chanting about Krishna. And you start to see that you really like devotees. You just don't put up with them. You start to like being a servant, a bhakti bhava. You start to develop the emotions of being a servant and like it. Rather than thinking you have to be Lord of the universe in order to be happy. Your desire to be the enjoyer reduces, and your only aspiration becomes simply to give pleasure to Krishna. You become more expert in dealing with devotees because you're more personal. What do you see that causes you to be critical?
Possibly just saying the way that somebody else is doing something, just in their own mind.
Like what, for example? Without going into specifics, like what?
The way that you're talking to a person, or perhaps the way.
Talking to you?
Yeah, possibly.
Okay. Talking to you like you don't know what you're talking about, you don't know anything?
Yeah.
Preaching down to you?
Not so much that, but just not realizing that I actually know a little bit more than that.
Yeah, perhaps you have read Bhagavad Gita a few times. And
yeah, I think so.
So then you start to like get like a, you know what, attitude?
I try not to, but the mind just sort of tends to.
Be happy someone's caring for you. At least they're talking to Krishna about you. At least they're talking to you about Krishna. Could be worse. Appreciate their endeavor. Is that bad?
No. It's just
it's annoying, huh?
It's just a worry because I know that it's not a good thing to be thinking that way about what it's going to do and how it's going to be. It's just that whole process seems to be reoccurring.
I'd be glad that someone cares, that someone wants to help, giving you the best thing. You're not used to being cared for, are you?
Right now.
Well, what way are you used to?
Being get to a sort of point where this is just available.
The point where you get what you want, right?
I guess that's what you
do. Yeah. Krishna conscious care means to exchange talks about Krishna, food offered to Krishna, realizations about Krishna. Anything directly in relation to Krishna is wonderful. You can always ask yourself, maybe I don't know so much at this point. Humility will get you everywhere. Like someone tries to teach you the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita or something, or what? Hey Steve, this is prasad. We offer this to Lord Krishna. He says, hey, I know that. And you want to kind of show, hey, I know that. We think I am, you know. We've been here, you know, 2 or 3 whole months. Just be glad that they're teaching you about Krishna. Gradually they'll realize the depths of your profundity. They'll realize the depths of your knowledge in time. What would you do, Duncan, if someone did that to you? You're Mr. Communicator. It's appreciated that at least they're trying to care, and you wouldn't just snap back, I know that, I know it's prasad, I know it's offered to Krishna. You may not know it, but I've been reading the books at home a long time. Just be positive and reply. Someone says, this is prasad, it's been offered to Krishna. Great, let's eat it. Here is a Bhagavad Gita, Steve. Great, let's read it. That's how you do. Now we're going to have kirtan. Can you say Hare Krishna? Sure. Hare Krishna. What's the loss? Are the ones who do that, are they ladies or men devotees?
It's not a major thing. I'm just more concerned about whether I react or something. But I think
well, you know, until we get to be more purified, we all have this bit of surly nature, you know? You know what surly means? You know, like a dog snarling. Yeah, you can even be in the ashram and someone steps on your sleeping bag. You step on my sleeping bag. Even though it was empty, I wasn't there. Still, it's my sleeping bag. Ah! It happened? Yeah. So that attitude is there. A surly, ragged attitude from material existence. It comes from being stepped on so many times in material life and stepping on others. You get this real doggish, surly mentality. Ah, you snarl. It'll become purified. It's just residues of material life. You can get over it very quickly by just appreciating devotees. They don't say they're perfect, but they're trying. That is a very special thing. Actually, everyone is hoping
that if I help this person, this person will be a future asset for Krishna's service. The men are thinking, yeah, he could be a good guy in the future. He could be a real help. Yeah. And also they're thinking, why should he waste his life? He should be Krishna conscious. The ladies, they're thinking, yeah, he could be a real nice devotee and maybe even Hare Krishna. It's all right. I've said it. After they bring 10 people to Krishna consciousness, they can take their quota. So sometimes they're looking for the legitimate quota. It's all part of life, you know. So just appreciate that someone's caring. They also know that by teaching someone about Krishna, Krishna becomes pleased. They want to please Krishna. They want to please their spiritual master. Understand your insignificant nature. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, there are prayers by Brahma for creative energy. And there he's begging the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in the course of doing my duties, I don't want to become puffed up. It's a big thing creating the universe, and I'm afraid that I'll really start to think I'm the doer. So the devotee's always fearing that he'll lose, or she'll lose, the natural humility of spiritual life and think that things are happening because of me. Even others may say it, but when they say like that in your heart, you say, no, this is all because of Krishna. I'm just an instrument. If you hear your rounds, that's probably the easiest way to feel yourself to be an instrument. If you actually hear the Hare Krishna mantra, everything is clear about your constitutional position. Devotees should glorify other devotees, but then the devotee who's being glorified naturally thinks, you've got to be joking. The two things go on simultaneously. Just like I was commending Triyuga on the nice, overall nice effect of the renovations. And he should be thinking, oh, actually, it's only because of the help of the other devotees that the whole thing worked. But if he starts thinking, ah, just see, my abilities are recognized. I have created a masterpiece. Then the false ego expands and modes of nature are there. But if he thinks, I'm just a humble servant of devotees. I cooperated with the other devotees. We made this plan together. Somehow it all worked. I'm so happy that Krishna let me do a little service utilizing my little abilities. That's the proper. That's what you thought, right? Hare, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.